Good afternoon, 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
I can easily find a $1 million hit to the city budget that does not include property taxes, insurance premium taxes, nor the ancillary negative spinoff.
Ashland Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says the city is preparing for the worst but hoping for the best. He says if AK Steel idles its blast furnace this winter, it'll have a severe impact on the city budget. The trial of a Fleming County couple on charges they physically abused their foster child has been delayed in circuit court, and the placing of a final cap on the former Maxey Flat nuclear waste disposal site is about 50% complete. In sports, the Ravens and Cardinals tee it up in Monday Night Football. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Cloudy tonight, a chance of showers, low around 50. The complete forecast after this news. One person is dead following a traffic crash in Johnson County this afternoon. WYMT is reporting that the accident happened on U.S. 23 near the Kentucky 1428 junction at Hager Hill. No other information is available at this time. Police are urging motorists to avoid the area till they clear the scene. An Oxford man was arraigned today on attempted murder charges in the shooting of a Prestonsburg police officer last week. According to WSAZ, 28-year-old Robert Powers appeared in Floyd County District Court after being accused in the October 21st shooting of Officer Adam Dixon. Dixon was shot in the stomach and is still recovering in a Huntington hospital. He's said to be in stable condition. The incident occurred after Powers had been pursued by police to a home on Abbott Creek. A Marion County man is being sought in two states on charges that he shot a deputy sheriff in Tennessee and fired at a Kentucky state trooper in Cumberland County. Floyd Ray Cook of Lebanon is accused of shooting a deputy in the chest in Allgood, Tennessee, and later firing at an officer in Burkesville, Kentucky. Trooper Billy Gregory is with the KSP.
Cook fled onto a road off of 61. Brett got his vehicle and began shooting from inside the vehicle. Our trooper returned fire, but Cook was able to get away on foot. The area he was in is definitely rough terrain, hilly. It's a very rural area of Kentucky, but he could be anywhere at this point.
Gregory says the deputy wounded in Tennessee was saved by his bulletproof vest. He says Cook is wanted for attempted murder of a police officer. The Maysville Ledger Independent is reporting that the trial of a Flemingsburg couple on charges of assaulting their foster child has been delayed in Fleming County Circuit Court. The trial of Natisha and Vernon Schlebach was to have started today but was postponed after a defense motion was granted. The Schlebach's attorney asked for the delay, saying that the defense's expert witness, Dr. John Galasnik, would be unavailable to testify because of a conflict of interest. A new date for the trial has not been scheduled. The Fleming County couple was arrested in 2013 after their 19-month-old foster child was treated at the UK Medical Center for severe brain trauma. Prosecutors claim the infant's injuries were the result of physical abuse. According to a story in the Mount Sterling Advocate, an officer at the Montgomery County Regional Jail has been fired and charged with stealing from an inmate. 39-year-old Samuel Garrison of Mount Sterling was a sergeant at the lockup. Garrison is accused of using a debit card that belonged to an inmate to make purchases totaling $1,700. He was arrested September 28th and taken to the Powell County Detention Center. A proposal to prevent the spread of synthetic drug abuse will be detailed at a press conference in Vanceburg this afternoon. State Representative and House Majority Leader Rocky Adkins will be joined by Lewis County Sheriff Johnny Bivens and others as they talk about the dangers of a substance called Flacco. Bivens says use of the drug has triggered bizarre and dangerous reactions from people in Lewis County.
And I've just never seen a drug that impacts people like this has. And that's why I think it's critical that we get these laws beefed up in regards to synthetic drugs. And I'm saying synthetics across the board. Obviously, if we were to focus it on one chemical, such as alpha PVP, then that chemist is going to change the name of that chemical the next day. So we've got to be prepared for that.
Representative Atkins and other supporters of legislation to combat the problem say their plan will be introduced in the Kentucky General Assembly next year. The effort to put the final cap on the Maxey Flat nuclear waste disposal site is about halfway done. That's according to Scott Wilburn, who monitors the site near the Rouen-Fleming County line for the Kentucky Environmental Cabinet. Wilburn says construction crews are excavating soils for the leveling fill and the protective cover. Some geosynthetics are also being installed for the liner material and drainage composites. He calls the work extensive.
It is. It involves quite a bit of work and planning from the engineering standpoint. They got to coordinate all the activities over the 60-acre cap to make sure they can get everything done and get things battened down for wintertime, too.
The final cover, complete with its vegetative cap, is expected to be finished next fall. Between 1962 and 1977, Maxey Flat accepted 4.7 million cubic feet of nuclear waste. It was closed after it was discovered that material was leaking onto neighboring properties. There's some concern in Ashland that if AK Steel shuts down its local blast furnace this winter, it will not reopen. The smelter is 52 years old and was damaged in an accident at the plant in 2014. However, the Ohio-based company was given financial incentives to repair and modernize the blast furnace. City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson is hoping that's enough, but he says it might not be.
Both Kentucky and the city of Ashland have incentivized that plant. The good news is those incentives belong to the plant, not AK Steel. So if AK Steel were to abandon that property, it's still viable, provided the blast furnace is still working. But even further compounding the matter is AK Steel bought a state-of-the-art steel mill in Dearborn, Michigan.
AK says it is considering temporarily idling its Ashland blast furnace because foreign imports have depressed the domestic market. The local mill employs more than 800 people. Elected and appointed city, county, and state officials huddled behind closed doors in the Ashland City Building last week to discuss the possible shutdown of AK Steel's blast furnace and its impact on the region. State Representative Kevin Sinnett attended that meeting and then spoke with the Ashland Daily Independent.
We got together, and it was a great meeting, and obviously with the local officials and the state officials getting together, looking at what is out there option-wise, if there is anything, but all of us getting on the same page and coordinating with each other.
There could be some news about the Ashland plant's immediate future as early as tomorrow morning. That's when AK Steel holds its third quarter conference call. Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr is pointing to the collapse of the Kentucky Health Cooperative and the failure of co-ops in other states as evidence that a new approach is needed to expand access and lower health care costs. The Lexington Republican was among those who voted Friday for a bill that would repeal key provisions of the Affordable Care Act, including the individual mandate, the employer mandate, and the medical device tax. Barr says the ACA promised things it has not delivered.
In the past 2 weeks, Obamacare co-ops have failed in my home state of Kentucky, Tennessee, Colorado, Oregon, and South Carolina. Co-ops have failed in Nevada, Iowa, Nebraska, New York, and Louisiana. And these failures were entirely predictable because the model was not sustainable. The Kentucky co-op lost nearly 60 cents for every premium dollar it collected.
The House passed the so-called Restoring Americans Healthcare Freedom Reconciliation Act by a vote of 240 to 189. Barr says it would reduce the federal deficit by $130 billion over the next 10 years. Democratic candidate for Kentucky Governor Jack Conway says he will not support the legalization of medical marijuana unless the state's physicians get behind the idea. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
Conway spoke at a press conference Sunday night, following a debate with his Republican opponent, Matt Bevin.
If we need medical marijuana, I want to hear from the Kentucky Medical Association. You know, I don't want to hear from some hipsters out in Hawaii saying Kentucky needs medical marijuana, you know, because if you have medical marijuana, there's going to be more of it. And chances are there'll be more accidents on our roads by young kids because there's more of it.
Conway says he does support the usage of cannabidiol, a major compound of marijuana, for the treatment of epileptic seizures. Bevin also favors the use of medical marijuana for that purpose. However, Bevin insists he would never sign legislation for recreational use of the drug. For MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Matt Bevin thinks funding for higher education should be linked to the types and frequency of degrees being conferred by Kentucky's colleges and universities. Bevin says no such formula is in place now, but there ought to be.
The $1 billion that we allocate in post-secondary education is allocated now based on metrics that are not specific to what degrees of graduation we have, or the progress toward graduation, or the types of degrees that our universities are offering.
Bevin spoke during a press conference Sunday night at Eastern Kentucky University. The Rowan County School District is preparing to sell its central office building on West 2nd Street. The local school board will declare it as surplus property at a special meeting tonight. After that happens, Superintendent Marvin Moore says the district is required to ask the Kentucky Department of Education to approve the move.
Once we do that, then we've got to either do two things, have a public auction or have sealed bids. I'm going to ask the board to authorize me to take sealed bids, and we have to do that up to 14 days. And then from there, an offer will be made. Everybody's got an opportunity to react to the sealed bid, and then we'll go from there.
Morehead State University, which borders the central office building, is said to want that facility. The Mason County Animal Shelter is making some changes. MSPR's Michael Gustin has that story.
According to the Ledger Independent, the Mason County Animal Shelter is closing its drop pen for unwanted animals. Animal welfare activist Rebecca Cartmell says leaving the pen open makes the practice of abandoning the pets easier, and if it was closed, owners may be more likely to rethink their decision. Other changes include a $20 adoption fee, and owners reclaiming pets must pay a $25 reclamation fee. Changes to the shelter's conditions are also being made, adding corando beds, meaning animals no longer will have to lay on concrete floors. For more Ed State Public Radio News, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is giving Wolf and Powell County some emergency road aid money. Wolf is receiving $39,500. While Powell is getting just over $63,000, H.B. Elkins is his spokesman for the cabinet.
Wolf was one of the counties, and Powell was too, that got hit with some flash flooding back in July. We didn't get the severity of what happened up in Johnson County, obviously, but we did have some highways damaged by that flooding, especially some of these local roads.
In Wolf County, the repairs will be made along Risner Road, Big Bloody Creek Road, King Branch Road, Whetstone Road, Wilson Branch Road, and East Broadway. Poplar Bluff and Upper Cane Creek Roads in Powell County are in for fix-ups. And finally this afternoon, with memories of last winter's historic snowfall still fresh in their minds, Lexington's Urban County Council members have given the preliminary go-ahead to a new snow removal plan. As Josh James reports, it incorporates private contractors if needed.
During an average cold season, Lexington officials mobilized the trucks and plows 11 times. But last winter, that number doubled thanks to twin snowstorms that battered the bluegrass in the space of a few weeks. Tuesday, the council's Environmental Quality and Public Works Committee mulled over a tiered plan that would utilize contractors to clear heavily traveled roads such as Citation Boulevard and Man O' War, and trigger extra outside help if accumulation tops 8 inches. Vice Mayor Steve Kay summarized the city's choices this way.
So we either will have a plan to do that that's a little forward-thinking, or we will do what we did last year, which is when the snow fell, scrambled around, did the best we can. I think it was a great job, but it would be easier and better if we had a plan and we had contractors waiting this year and available so that we could do it more efficiently and effectively.
But those services don't come cheap. Even if Lexington is spared winter's wrath this year, the city would still be on the hook for about $172,000 and an extra $10,000 every time the snow team is called up for duty. Committee members eventually endorsed the plan, with deliberations over how to fund it scheduled for November. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Carter, Board, Boyd, and Elliott. Tonight, cloudy, a chance of showers early this evening, then showers late. Lows around 50, the chance of rain is 70%. Tuesday, showers, highs in the upper 50s, the chance of rain is 100%. Tuesday night, showers again, near steady temperatures in the mid-50s, the chance of rain is 100%. And Wednesday, showers once more, highs in the upper 60s. Around the region, it is 63 at Ashland, 61 in Flemingsburg, and Inez, 60 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 61 degrees. 446, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segments, the Kentucky Department of Medicaid Services is urging those who receive government-funded health insurance to update their addresses so they do not temporarily lose medical aid. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has the story.
A bad address could mean bad news for Medicaid users in Kentucky. If a mailing to a Medicaid recipient comes back to the state with an incorrect address, the recipient is now being warned they have from 31 to 60 days to update their address. Emily Beauregard with Kentucky Voices for Health says that doesn't mean the recipient is no longer eligible for the government-funded health insurance, but he or she may not find out they've been disenrolled until they seek services.
And that doctor or pharmacist is going to say, I'm sorry, your card is not current. Your coverage isn't up to date, and we can't provide you services today until you change that.
Around 1.3 million Kentuckians receive Medicaid, more than a quarter of the state's population. Advocates are working hard to get the message out to recipients that they can update their information by phone, mail, or online. It's feared there could be tens of thousands of people with bad addresses. Jackie Engel is the Outreach and Enrollment Director with the not-for-profit Family Health Centers in Louisville.
We feared that this would be much worse than what it appears to be at this point, and so I'm grateful for that. I credit the word of mouth and the communities and the groundswell and the grassroots, the providers, the insurance carriers, but there's still going to be plenty of people who are at risk, and the medications are what really scare me.
This is the first full month of warnings, and according to the state, 5,000 to 6,000 recipients have already been notified they are about to be disenrolled. Currently, the state is attempting to only disenroll those with managed care plans who have bad addresses. Open enrollment mailings will not trigger the warning. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Jared has sports. He's up right now.
Week 7 wraps up tonight. Good evening. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley. The struggling Baltimore Ravens are in Arizona to clash with the NFC West leading Cardinals in Monday Night Football. MSPR's Michael Gustin has more.
Baltimore is looking to turn around its 1-5 season. The Cardinals' offense will test the Ravens' defense. Carson Palmer and company are averaging 34 points and 405 yards a game. The Ravens haven't had much luck on offense either. Joe Flacco has struggled this year, tossing only 8 touchdown passes while suffering 7 interceptions. Cross-country trips have haunted the Ravens in 2015. They've already lost at Denver, Oakland, and San Francisco. The good news is that the Ravens are 4-1 lifetime against Arizona. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Texans running back Arian Foster is out for the season with an Achilles tendon injury. Coach Bill O'Brien says he expects Foster to miss the rest of the season, but did not elaborate on the injury to Foster's right leg. Foster was injured without being hit late in the Texans' 44-26 loss to Miami on Sunday. He was in motion when he fell to the ground at the beginning of a play. After getting their first road win of 2015, the arrow is definitely pointing up for the Morehead State football team. They improved to 3-1 in the PFL and remained in the thick of the conference's title chase after a 31-27 triumph Saturday at Campbell. It took a 2-yard touchdown run by sophomore Christian Robinson with 14 seconds left to put Coach Rob Tenyer's Eagles over the top.
It took a lot of guts, what we did, and that's what we talked about. This was going to be a guts game. We, you know, it's a hard environment, it's a long trip, and we just found a way to win.
MSU's Justin Cornwall set a school record with 14 receptions in the game. The Eagles return home Saturday to host Drake. Kentucky defensive coordinator DJ Elliott says his group failed to win the matchups it needed to in the Wildcats' 42-16 loss Saturday night at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs piled up 586 yards of total offense in the game. Elliott watched quarterback Dak Prescott riddle the UK defense, connecting on 25 of his 35 passes for 345 yards and 3 touchdowns.
I knew that Dak was very talented, so I knew that the ball was going to be thrown very good. So, I knew that we had to try to get some pass rush and we had to win some one-on-ones because he was going to put the ball right on the money. And we didn't do that like we had planned. And we didn't play good enough, didn't coach good enough.
Now 4-3 overall, including a 2-3 mark in the SEC, UK will entertain rival Tennessee on Halloween. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are wrapping up their fall practices this week. Coach Mike McGuire says the nearly 2 months of drills have given him a lot of time to look at MSU's bevy of new position players, who he spent a lot of time teaching about what he wants from them from an offensive standpoint.
Buy into what our offensive system is and what our approach is. And we're, you know, I think that's a hard thing for kids initially because they were all recruited here because they're good hitters. And then now, they got to learn to take a walk. They got to learn to hit behind a runner. Got to learn to get a butt down. All those different things that they haven't really been asked to do because they've been the best hitter on their team.
The Baseball Eagles fall practices wrap up Wednesday. Minnesota Timberwolves head coach Flip Saunders has passed away. Here's AP correspondent Jack Briggs. Had a little bit of an error there on that. I apologize for that. Flip Saunders was 60 years old. Morehead State volleyball coach Jamie Gordon believes things are looking up for the Eagles after starting the year at 2-8. A weekend home sweep of Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech gave MSU 5 victories in its last 7 matches. Gordon says things are coming together at just the right time for his squad.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about a concept called the October hump. It's that middle, late part of October, and that's where you start to see teams separate in one direction or the other. And we're working really hard on that, and I think you're starting to see this team gel, really fight through some tough times. And, get through the October hump, and then you try and peak in November.
With 6 matches to go in the regular season, the MSU volleyball team is 9-15 overall and 6-4 in the OVC. The Round County boys soccer team begins state tournament action tonight at 7 as the 16th region champs host Pikeville. The Vikings are 17-7-1 this season, and Coach Max Hammond says they are prepared and ready for round 1 of the Sweet 16.
You know, it's a great opportunity for us to come out and get a first round win. I know Pikeville's going to bring everything they got. You know, play hard. You know, we just got to be ready for them and, you know, put the ball in the back of the net.
Pikeville is 12-8-1 for the year. The Rowan girls open state tournament play tomorrow night at 7 at Schuster Field as they face Johnson Central. Finally tonight, let's give this one more try, see what Jack Briggs has to say about Flip Saunders.
Longtime NBA head coach Flip Saunders, who won more than 650 games in nearly two decades, has passed away at the age of 60. He was serving as coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as well as being the team's president and part owner when diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in June. He took a leave of absence from the team in September after complications arose during his recovery. Saunders went 654-592 in 17 NBA seasons with the Timberwolves, Detroit Pistons, and Washington Wizards. This is Jack Briggs.
And that will do it for sports this evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSBR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football hosts Drake at 1 p.m. Saturday and Dayton on November 7th. Those are the final two home games of the season. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed narrowly mixed, holding most of last week's gains as investors ready for another week of earnings and central bank announcements. The Dow at the close finishing with a small loss of 23.65 at 17,623.05. The S&P 500 was down 3.97 at 2,071.18, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 2.84 at 5,034.7 as you had some strength in the technology sector along with also some strength in the biotech sector. New York Stock Exchange breadth was actually 19 to 11 in favor of losing stocks over winners, so the broader market weaker than the major averages. Apple fell more than 3% ahead of its earnings report due after the close tomorrow. Chevron declined more than 2.5%, and Chevron and Apple were your biggest losers among the 30 Dow Jones industrial stocks today. The NASDAQ, as mentioned, managed a slight gain as the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF actually was up more than 1% in afternoon trade, and of course the biotech sector helping to lift the NASDAQ. And shares of Alphabet, which is Google's holding company, closed about 1.5% higher, while Microsoft rallied 2.6%, and Facebook and Amazon both were up about 1.6%, adding strength to the NASDAQ today. Oil settled at $43.98 a barrel, which was the lowest since August 10th, and European equities closed lower, while most Asian stocks closed mildly higher. The Hang Seng index itself was a touch lower in trading today. In U.S. economic news, September new home sales fell 11.5% to near a one-year low after two straight months of gains, and Treasury bond yields were down today as bond prices were up, with the 10-year yield finishing at 2.06% and the 2-year yield finishing at 0.63%. New York Stock Exchange owner Intercontinental Exchange today announced it will acquire Interactive Data Corporation for about $5.2 billion. And Xerox reported earnings that topped estimates, but revenue did miss expectations. The office solutions company's results were hurt by lower printer sales and a strong dollar, and said it would conduct a review of its business operations. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 45 cents at 107.28, CSX down 49 cents at 27.88, AEP up 32 cents at 57.80, AK Steel down 32 cents at 2.34, Marathon Petroleum up 13 cents at 48.72, and Anthem was up 75 cents to finish at 141.70. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Lewis, Rowan, and Morgan. Tonight, cloudy, a chance of showers early this evening, then showers late, lows around 50 degrees. The chance of rain is 70%. Tuesday, showers, highs in the upper 50s, the chance of rain is 100%. Tuesday night, showers once again. Near steady temperatures in the mid-50s, and the chance of rain is near 100%. Wednesday, showers, highs in the upper 60s. The chance of rain is near 100%. Around the region, it is 63 in Ashland, 61 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 60 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 61 degrees. And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.